36, verse 26, but I'll be reading through 33. Behold, God is great, and we know him not, neither can the number of his years be searched out. For he maketh the small drops of water, they pour down rain according to the vapor thereof, which the clouds do drop and distill upon man abundantly. Also, can any understand the spreading of the clouds, or the noise of his tabernacle? Behold, he spreadeth his light upon it, and covereth the bottom of the sea. For by them judgeth he the people. He giveth meat in abundance. With the clouds he covereth the light, and commandeth it not to shine, and by the cloud that cometh betwixt. The noise thereof showeth concerning it, and the cattle also concerning the vapor. The cattle even declare the power of God's storms. And I want to take that first verse that I read as a text. Behold, God is great, and we know him not. Neither can the number of his years be searched out. I'd like to take that and preach on a message entitled, God is great. God is great. Now, why would you need to preach a message about God being great? You see it on bumper stickers, you hear it in songs, we say it over and over, people mock it in the world, God is not great. I think sometimes we forget exactly how great God is. It even says in my text here, God is great, and we don't even know him. We don't even really begin to comprehend how great God is. And my voice is feeling a little strained, so bear with me. I don't think I can do God justice with my voice, but I shall endeavor, and pray for me. The power of God. And Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. That's Matthew 22 and 29. The power of God. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err. You don't even understand. You do wrong, not knowing the scriptures. And also, you do fear. You do despair. You do abide in confusion. Why? Because you do not know the scriptures, nor the power of God. Speaking about God is great. The victory of God. Psalm 98 and 1. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The victory. Isaiah 25 and 8. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all of the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. That's Isaiah 25 and 8. How could you miss this one? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 through 55 and verse 57. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, brother. God gives us victory through ice-cold bottled water that soothes the throat. Praise God. 1 John 5, verse 4 reads, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Overcomes circumstances. Overcomes troubles. Troubles. Trips over things on his tongue. Overcomes struggles. Overcomes strife and contention. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That's 1 John 5, 4. God is greater than my strained voice. Praise God. The grace of God. Titus 2:11 through verse 14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodly and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. You're definitely peculiar, Nathan. Yes, I am. And I endeavor to be peculiar in a godly way as well. A peculiar people, zealous of good works.
I think that, you know, that's the, we should live soberly. That means that we probably shouldn't laugh and have too much fun because, you know, that's unsettling to people. You know, they come into church in a very somber attitude and we want to chant in Latin and we want to do everything in a formulaic way and not be disturbed because we wish to sleep through the service.
That we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God. Our great God. God is great.
Belabor the point, Nathan. Don't think you ever can.
1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. What's that word again? Sober. And watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Talking about the grace of God, of our great God. Saying, you received grace. You have freely received grace. You should freely share that grace with everyone you come in contact with. Why? Oh, why would you harden your hearts towards one another? Love shall cover a multitude of sins.
That's right, we're under love. That's why we can just go ahead and do whatever we wish to. And it is God's love that covers our sins. But in that same scripture it says, the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. So as long as I don't drink alcohol, then I'm okay, right? Yes, it does mean sobriety in that sense. But no, I don't think that's what it means. It means live seriously. That's right, brother. I am serious. I am serious about God. I don't believe you can be serious about God and not have fun. I really don't. And God gives us joy. And brother, thank you. Because next, I want to talk about the love of God. Romans 8:37 through 39. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Aren't you going to expound upon that, Nathan? Don't think I could. The love of God is beyond comprehension. Our God is great. Our God is powerful. And regardless of what we face in this life, there is nothing, no thing that can separate us from the love of God. 1 John.
And this one's lengthy. Bear with me.
1 John 3:16 through 23. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, then God is greater than our heart. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. I'm almost sure that that said, whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. What was Jesus' commandment? Love one another. Talking about the love of God. Talking about our great God. And our great God is a powerful God. The voice of the Lord is powerful, unlike Nathan's. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. What about when it's a still small voice? Even when you're down there plucking at the weeds, digging around, and a still small voice is speaking to your heart. It's majestic. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick. That means it's alive. The word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You ever around somebody and they let out, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And you're not even at church. You're just at work and you hear somebody say that. And about half the people in the room cringe. Like, they said that Jesus word. Makes me smile. Brings a smile to my face regardless of the circumstance. That's right. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. The word of God is alive. It is alive. Our God is great, and He is powerful, and our God is able. Wasn't that the name of Adam's son? No. Yes. It was the name of Adam's son. But God is able. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up. For God is able to make him stand. That's Romans 14, verse 4. God is able to make him stand. What if he's fallen down? God is able to make him stand. What if he's struggling? God is able. What if circumstances are against him? God is able. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work.
Well, I'm not really called to that ministry. That's not what the Lord leads me to do. You know, I'm only called to be good in this fashion and according to this time and only here and there and on special occasions, you know, Christmas and Easter and, well, maybe only in odd years on Christmas and, you know, maybe in even years and Easter, but
God is able to make grace. Praise God. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in a few things, in all things, may abound unto every good work. That's 2 Corinthians 9:8. And you know what? I was looking up God is able. And every single time that the Bible says God is able, it is always, every single one of them is in reference to the salvation of man. It says God is able of these stones to raise up seed unto Abraham. God is able. And every single time that it mentions that God is able, it's with reference to the salvation of man. Praise God that he is able. And I may actually make it through my outline here before my voice fails. Praise God! Why, Nathan, would you undertake to say that God is great? Because sometimes circumstances aren't so great. Sometimes you are struggling. Sometimes things feel like they're overwhelming. Sometimes it seems like you're battling with despair. And remember that God is great. The glory of God. Psalms 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. You ever look up at the stars? I remember as a young child laying with my back on a stump, staring up at the sky, thinking, wow, God made all of that. And even beyond what I can see. And it was a beautiful, clear night. You could see the Milky Way. You could see the whole, you know, I don't know what you call it even. The whole strand of stars, that white glow through the sky. I thought, wow. And at that time, perhaps I had learned a little bit about astronomy at school. And our Milky Way galaxy is one little tiny speck. And some of those stars that we see aren't stars. They're galaxies full of millions of stars. And all of it was made by our God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Romans 5:2, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So when we see the beautiful majesty of God's handiwork, why should we be troubled by the little things of this life? Well, they're great big things. The great big things compared to what? What's the comparison? Well, it's not the whole galaxy, but it's my world. It's my galaxy. Is God able? Is God victorious? Is God powerful? Is God glorious? Is God got grace? Is God have power? Is God great? Yes. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises in God, of God, in Him are, well, maybe, could possibly be, if, maybe, you hold on just a little bit longer. Wait a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 reads, for all the promises of God in Him are yea. That means yes. And in Him, amen. Unto the glory of God by us. So when God does good things for you, what are you supposed to do? Well, look what I did. I almost failed in that, but God, He gave me a little bit of strength, but mostly it was me. I kind of brought myself up by my bootstraps, and look what a good boy I have been. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen. Unto the glory of God by Nathan. Granted, Jesus. Insert your own name there. By us. And granted, Jesus, by U.S. Speaking of our nation, unto the glory of God by us. And I'm closing with the melodramatic, half-hearted sob story of a verse that probably wouldn't stir the most excitable person on earth, because it's just that dull and boring. Revelation 21, verse 23 reads, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Oh, what a great God we serve. Oh, what a great God who gave His Son to die for us. And with that great gift, gives us all the fullness of His power, of His grace, of His love, of His mercy. All of the provision. All of the providence that is promised in Scripture. It's there. It's ours. We only have to remember that God is great. Pastor.